Do so now as we begin the morning message. Oh, and Tim is taking pictures, so for our church, we've got some pictures there of that presentation. All right. You know, I did a search on the things that you should not get for your mother on Mother's Day. And I was surprised at how many things popped up. You know, I figured there's a few things that are pretty obvious you shouldn't probably get your mother on Mother's Day. Some of them I found quite humorous. But here's a list of some of those things. Pepper spray, taser, or a gift certificate for defense class. So, Tim, you better take those back. A Weight Watchers membership. Anything related to cleaning the house unless it is a maid service. Mm-hmm. Dinner out at McDonald's. Anything that breathes, a.k.a. any kind of pets. A set of new tires or coupon for a free oil change. There you go, John. You better just... Anything sold on infomercial. Wrinkle cream or anti-aging cream. Don't get that. An IOU coupon. A gym membership. Or perfume that you like. Now, I picked up some of these from what I would say some very high-spirited women who were very passionate concerning what not to get them for Mother's Day. So they had a little more to say about this. They said, don't give us house plants. Do we really need another thing to look after and keep alive? We have enough trouble with you and Dad. Be very careful with flowers, they say. Chrysanthemums or carnations are for funerals, and it will be yours if you buy them. Chocolates. Do you think we like being the size of a small whale? We can buy our own chocolates from Aldi. Think outside the box. Don't give us slippers or a dressing gown. Nothing says I'm a middle-aged mom, so this was a British person here, with no life more than a dressing gown or slippers. Don't give us cash or store gift vouchers. Yeah, give me some money that you know is going to be spent on you. A coffee mug with mum on it. That's original. I only have 50 million mugs in the cupboard as it is. A magnet with I love you, Mom. Nice idea. But once again, it needs to come with something expensive. A self-help book. Now, I might like to read it, but getting Mom a self-help book for Mother's Day isn't going to help either of you. Socks and underwear, even though it serves us right for those Christmas gifts we gave you. Cheap jewelry that is going to make my skin blister. A tea towel to remind me that my life is just an endless tirade of dirty dishes. A cookbook. I have enough already. We all know that at the end of the day, I'm going to default to meatloaf, taco Tuesday, or takeout. Activewear or fitness equipment. Why not get me a t-shirt that reads, I'm an unfit fat mom, while you're at it. Bath bombs. Who has time for a bath? If you do have time for a bath and use a bath bomb, have you ever tried to clean that scum off? Wash-up gloves or oven mitts. Prepare to die. An action figure, doll, or any other toy the child actually wants for themselves. And that goes for dads, too. A ceiling fan, a reversing camera for the car, new tools, a chainsaw. I'll tell you what I'll do with that chainsaw. Now, before you tuck away that gift that you were going to give Mom and run out and get something better, you should know that this list does not necessarily apply to all mothers. In fact, a good mother probably would graciously receive any of these gifts, except maybe for that t-shirt that reads, I'm an unfit fat mom. But rather than focusing on what the average mom doesn't want for a Mother's Day gift, I want to preach a message on what the best gifts to give a great mom on Mother's Day and every other day as well. The message today is entitled, What to Get Mom for Mother's Day. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would touch us today, each of us in some form or fashion. It applies to each one of us in certain ways and maybe some unusual ways that you might want to speak to us today. That's what we look for. We look to be directed by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we look to worship you today because you made mothers. You gave that gift. As great as mothers are, it was you who ordained women to be mothers. And what a wonderful thing that is. And so ultimately, may we worship you today in the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this message has somewhat of a dual purpose. It is a challenge to the mothers as we unwrap these gifts found in the Word of God. I want you to ask yourself, is this what I really desire for my children? Some might be an obvious yes, but there may be some that you have a hesitancy to say yes to. The other purpose of the message is to challenge the children, both young and old, who have a mother, a living mother. Are you willing to give these gifts to your mom? Or perhaps there are some that you struggle to give. The first gift for mom is the gift of salvation. I want you to turn to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. In chapter 1, we're going to start there. The book of Ruth, chapter 1. What a gift. Salvation is the ultimate gift that you can give your mom, and that it'll make a little more sense as we go along here. Ruth, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return unto thee, we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I'm too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. What an amazing thing that these two daughter-in-laws would have such a special relationship with their mother-in-law, to the point that they would be willing to leave their natural home, to a home they knew nothing about. You know, I believe the mother-in-law, Naomi, fulfilled the New Testament scripture in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I believe these two girls saw something they never saw in their own home, something that was beyond just a mother in this world. Orpah would return to her mother in a false religion, but Ruth would leave her mother to follow the true God. Ruth chose the way of salvation. And through her salvation, she had power to go back and tell her mother how to be saved. See, there's only way to get both of you to heaven is one at a time. I had to leave the religion I grew up with to find God. But I went back home. I returned to give the gift of the gospel to my family, and I still do. There's no gift greater than that of salvation. When death doors come, whether the mother first or the child, there is no greater gift than to know that the one passed away is in heaven. There's no greater gift than that. And that you'll be with them there one day in eternity. In 2 Samuel 12:18, a familiar portion of Scripture, "And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died," speaking of David and his sin and his son that died. "And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice." He wouldn't even talk to him. "How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead?" But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, "What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread." Didn't make any kind of human sense. And he said, "While this child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." The gift of salvation is a shared gift that brings comfort in all life's trials and continues into an everlasting relationship of eternal joy. That's the greatest gift. It's the saddest thing. When somebody passes away, that if you don't know, that you can definitely say that I'm going to see them in heaven one day. The next gift is the gift of honor. Exodus 20, verse 12 says, very familiar, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So just what is honor anyway? What does it mean to honor your mother? I would like to put it like this. Supposing you have a collection of, let's say, teapots. Now, that's pretty common in our house. The teapots, say, come from all around the world. Some very expensive, some very exquisite, some with outstanding colors and patterns, but you have only one spot for one teapot in your house that you can showcase to all who come in to your home. It is the teapot that you prize the most. Now, you could choose to display the most expensive one, Or maybe the one that the Queen of England drank from. But you chose the one that is most beautiful to you. It is the teapot that your mother gave you. It may not be the most expensive, the most colorful, or come from the farthest away. It may even have a chip on it and faded colors. It is simply the most beautiful because your mother gave it to you. And you showcase it above all others. That is honor. You see, many of us have truly wonderful mothers worthy of honor. But there are some people, quite honestly, that have very bad mothers. Yet you can still honor her. You can hope for her. You can pray for her above all others. You can keep a burden for her like no other just because she is your mother. Honor goes to all mothers. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Hearken unto the father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Age wears hard on everyone, and it'll be a time where you may experience this difficulties with your very own parents. Great difficulty comes with age, whether physical, mental, emotional. The relationship you once had may be disintegrating right before your eyes, bringing extreme difficulty into your heart and life. That proverbial teapot that I talked about may be battered, broken, and unsightly. It may need to be managed differently or in a way you never imagined, but to honor her is that through it all, you keep her on the top shelf. Honor is a gift that you can't afford not to give. To not honor your mother is to shorten your time of life and to usher into that life great difficulty. Proverbs 19:26 says, "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach." Another gift to give your mother is the gift of a pleasant countenance. Now, you children, I want you especially to think about this. Communication goes far beyond words. Gestures and facial expressions communicate clearer than words at times. There's nothing more a mother likes than cheerfulness, smiles, hugs, and kisses. This is a great gift to give to your mother, but there's also gifts of countenance that you should never give your mother on Mother's Day or any day as far as that goes. Things like rolling your eyes, frowns, folding of the arms, stomping the feet, or the silent treatment. All very bad gifts. The Bible says in Proverbs 20:20, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Proverbs 30:17, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it." Now, if I'm correct, I think Andy Follett knows what this verse is talking about. His mother used this on him quite often. Another gift to give your mom is the gift of obedience. Proverbs 1:8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Proverbs 6:20 it says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." Now, the dad has instruction, it seems like, and commands. But moms have the laws. They are home with the kids most of the time, and therefore they legislate many laws in the home. Brush your teeth, wash your hair, wash behind your ears, make your bed, clean your room, be home by, etc., etc., etc. Moms make the most laws in the home. Want a great gift for Mother's Day? Obey the laws of the house. I asked my wife what that catchy phrase was for that, and she told me. She said, obey right away. Let's see here. Obey right away with the right heart and the right attitude, completely and sweetly. Did I get that right? Probably heard that a little bit. Obedience to your mother all the time is a timeless gift, one that your mother cherishes every time you give it. Now turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Here we find another gift. Now this one is a little bit harder to give and to receive. I told you that's going to get a little bit harder here. It's the gift of a dedicated life to God. Now 1 Samuel 1, 9 says, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Now Hannah struck a deal with God that would require her to give her firstborn son to a ministry that would separate her from the normal joys of raising that son. Separating yourself from your mother to a ministry God has called you into is not an easy gift to give. It could be going into the service of your country, a specialized job that takes you far away, or going overseas as a missionary, or to work that is consuming, leaving little time to visit with mom. Ben and Alyssa Hall gave that gift to their mother. Doing what God has called you to do comes with many sacrifices. But what may be hard to give as a son or a daughter may be even harder to be received by a mother. I mentioned early on that some of these gifts would be a challenge, not only to the giver, but also to the receiver. Though it's somewhat infrequent for a son or a daughter to be called away into a work, into a faraway country, there is a common call for sons and daughters to leave their family to start one of their own. Matthew 19:4 says, "And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which hath made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Now we could just stop right there in this world and think about that. "And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." These are some of the toughest gifts, yet some of the most rewarding. Through these gifts comes an amazing benefit, that of a closer relationship with God. And the icing on that cake, it's grandkids, right? The gift of dedicating your life to God's future purpose in your life can be bittersweet, but give it and receive it anyway. Another gift you can give your mother is the gift of living wisely. Proverbs 10:1. The Proverbs of Solomon, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Proverbs 15:20, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother." Now I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Just split your Bible in half and you're going to be close. Proverbs chapter 23. Here we'll see what wise living looks like. We'll start in verse 19 of Proverbs chapter 23. It says, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers. Don't go out drinking with the crowd. Among riotous eaters of flesh who go out and cause trouble and throw things at signs and toilet paper people's houses and foolish stuff like that. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. Talking about where you're spending your money. And drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags, meaning you're not a hard worker. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You know, a good mother has been teaching you to live wisely since you were a child. From friends, to decisions, to learning, to finances, she's been teaching you to be wise. And maybe you didn't have a mother that raised you in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but God's words, instructions for living wisely is not bound to the mother. It's right before you. And most any mother, even if she's saved or not saved, will gladly receive the gift of you living wisely. She would be proud of that. Then there is the gift of loving God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You know, every good mother desires their children to be in church. You've heard that. My kids are in church. I'd say that's a good mother, but a great mother will want her children to live more holy than they. They will want them to be closer to God than they are. They will take a joy in their children who grow closer to God than they are to them, to God themselves. This is a costly gift for the giver. Matthew 16:25 says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Neither is this gift easy to receive. It is not an easy gift to receive because it attacks your pride. Your children getting closer to God can feel like a condemnation of how you raised your child. It happens all the time. You should expect it. You get saved, you understand things, and you realize that maybe your parents don't know God the way they should know Him. And you go back and you tell them. They kind of feel like, you're telling me I didn't do a good job. Because there's pride bound in parents, just in people themselves. Jesus experienced a form of this pride of man. In Matthew 13:54, He said, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Don't get discouraged if you go back and it doesn't come out like you hope. Just keep praying. Just keep preaching. Just keep loving, keep serving God. Many a mother has no problem seeing their children succeed far above what they achieve materialistically. They love to brag on the job and the status of or great pay they make, but to brag on how they have grown spiritually well beyond you is a little tougher to say. But to a great mother, she realizes that spirituality is a continual growth process. And her goal for her children is for them to carry it a little bit further. For any other way is a downward direction for their posterity. That's a wise mom. They realize that. Yeah, we should grow our way, but you know, we ought to be examples of, okay, take it farther than me, kids. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might is an incredible gift to give to an incredible mom. Now, I'd like to end the message with a wonderful mother-child relationship. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and the pianist coming to play, we could talk a lot about a lot of gifts at Mother's Day, but the Bible has some very precious gifts. Great gifts to give your mother, but gifts that need to be really received by the mother as well. How has God spoke to you today through the message? It could be something that would seem maybe off the wall in the context of the message. It doesn't matter. What is God speaking to you about today? What has the Holy Spirit said? Hey, I want you to listen to this. I want you to do this. I want you to think about this. What is it? God wants to speak to your heart. He wants to help you along. Will you allow Him to do that today? Thank you for your attention. Before we dismiss in prayer, my wife thought of a different idea. Like usually Mother's Day, you have the youngest mother, the oldest mother, the mother with the most children, and sometimes it's the same ones each year. And then this year, we've got a few that are in the bellies yet to be born, so how would you do that one? So she decided we're going to pick out of the hat three gifts. So everybody's names. Okay, the little the children are coming in to pick.